Hi, and welcome back to this Microsoft Virtual Academy course on Identity and Access Management. As before, my name is Jonathan Forgeson, and I will continue to be your host for this course over the next few modules. In this module, we will be covering how to plan and design an Identity and Access Management solution which is based on Microsoft best practices. We'll also be taking a look at the tools that are used to create the solution and their prerequisites. To wrap up the module, we will run through a design scenario in which we will investigate the steps involved in designing a solution for a particular goal. In the next module, we'll be taking a deeper dive into the tools, how they function, and how they are used to create an identity and access management solution. We'll run through a demonstration in which we use the tools to build the solution we've designed in this module. Following on from that, we'll be investigating how to maintain the shiny new identity and access management solution and some of the tools used for monitoring the solution for issues that could be causing you problems. To start off the module, we'll quickly review what types of identity that we are designing identity and access management solutions for. In this course, we are focusing on managed identity and federated identity. These types of identities are differentiated by the type of sign-in experience they offer and the complexity of the solution required to implement them. Managed identity provides the same sign-on experience for users where the users have the same login for both on-premises systems and cloud systems, but, and this is the key point, when accessing the cloud system, they'll have to re-enter their credentials. This type of identity is quick and simple to implement. Generally, it will only require one extra server, which will recommend it to some organizations which have no requirement for single sign-on. Federated identity provides a single sign-on experience for users where the login process for cloud systems leverage the cache credentials on the user's local machine to access the cloud systems. Generally, logging into cloud systems will be seamless to the user as the credentials will be passed through to the federation servers with no input from the user. This type of identity is more complex and will take a little longer to implement than managed identity due to the fact that the solution will generally involve about 5 extra servers. Organizations who are aiming for the smallest impact on their end users or those who are federating with external organizations will be utilizing federated identity. Right, let's get into the nuts and bolts that make up these solutions. Azure Active Directory Sync, or AAD Sync, is utilized in both managed identity solutions and federated identity solutions. This tool takes the Active Directory objects and sends them up into the Azure Active Directory. One small issue with managed identity is that it relies on a syncing process to send identities to the cloud. This means that when a user is created in the local Active Directory, they won't appear in the Azure Active Directory until a sync has been completed. Luckily, you are able to change the periods between syncs in the Azure Active Directory synchronization configuration. Also, when a user changes their password, there will be a delay between the password change locally and when the password is changed in Azure Active Directory. But this process is separate from the directory sync process and will usually occur within minutes of a user changing their password. In terms of prerequisites for AAD sync, most of these are handled by the installers provided by Microsoft. You will need to have a cloud service tenant available, be that Azure or Office 365, and a directory sync service account created in both the cloud service and on-premises. Once that has been done, run the installer from Microsoft and any other prerequisites you need will be installed. The components which make up a federated identity solution used to be quite complex to configure, but Microsoft have now provided the Azure Active Directory Connect tool, which has reduced the complexity. The components which make up a federated identity solution used to be quite complex to configure, but Microsoft have now provided the Azure Active Directory Connect tool, which has reduced the complexity. The AAD Connect tool runs you through the process of creating a federated identity solution, and once the information has been gathered, we'll provision the various moving parts of the solution using the magic of PowerShell. These moving parts are the Active Directory Federation Server, or ADFS Server, and the Web Application Proxy Server, or WAP Server. As federated identity relies on these servers, it is recommended that they be installed in a highly available configuration. This means that you will need 2 ADFS servers and 2 WAP servers to implement this solution. The ADFS server needs to be treated like an Active Directory domain controller, as it has a fairly similar role. The WAP server can either be put in a DMZ in a workgroup, or installed as a perimeter edge appliance transitioning the separation between your production network and DMZ network and domain joined. We'll cover off the reasoning behind the two separate configurations in the coming slides. In terms of prerequisites for Azure Active Directory Connect, you will need to have an administrative account in your cloud service as well as in your on-premises domain. You will also need to have an SSL certificate, and if you wish to use the other features available on the WAP server, it should probably have a certificate which supports subject alternative names. These certificates are also referred to as Unified Communication Certificates, as they are commonly used with Microsoft Exchange. Both the ADFS servers and the WAP servers will need to be accessible remotely from the machine you are running the AAD Connect tool on, which will usually be one of the ADFS servers. In the next few slides, we'll be covering off Microsoft best practices for the various tools. As previously, these will be broken up into sections based on the types of identity that we're covering in this module. There is only one tool that you need to implement managed identity, and that tool is AAD Sync. There really aren't that many prerequisites for AAD Sync, but we'll cover off the basics here. AAD Sync will need to be installed on a server running Windows Server 2008 or newer, and it must be a 64-bit machine. While there are no documented memory requirements, it would be best to go with at least 4 GB, which is Microsoft's recommended minimum for DirSync. AAD Sync installs SQL Express Local DB, which is a light version of SQL Express, and this should be fine for anything up to 100,000 objects. Anything over that size will require a full version of SQL. The machine that AAD Sync is installed on needs to be domain joined and can be co-located with other services. However, it is recommended that this machine be standalone to allow easy recovery if there are ever any issues with the machine. As has been said before, managed identity is the easier of the two types of identity that we are covering off. The server infrastructure requirements are light, and the implementation time is quick. Organizations who want to move to the cloud quickly or have a small team that cannot take up the implementation plan for federated identity are able to implement managed identity rapidly. One issue that AAD Sync has is that it is based on two sync processes, the identity sync process and the password sync process. This means that any changes made on your on-premises Active Directory require the synchronization process to run before it will appear in Azure Active Directory. The time between syncs can be altered by updating a configuration file, but you need to take into account the amount of items you have in your Active Directory before altering that time. If you make the interval too short, you'll run into an issue where one sync process will start to overlap the next. AAD Sync can be used to synchronize password information to Azure Active Directory, which will allow users to log into cloud services using the same password that they use to log into their on-premises services. One thing that I have heard people discuss when investigating this feature is the security of sending your password across the internet, which is usually seen as something to be avoided at all costs. This process is very secure. The actual text of the password is never accessed by the AAD Sync service. What AAD Sync does is take the Message Digest Algorithm, or MD4 hash of the password. It then parses that MD4 hash and rehashes it again using the Secure Hash Algorithm, or SHA-256. The results of that rehash are then used to derive a password-based key derivative function, or PBKDF2 key, which is then transmitted over an HTTPS tunnel to Azure Active Directory. While nothing is totally secure, I have no issues with enabling password sync on AAD Sync, and none of our clients have had an issue with this either. Moving on to Federated Identity and Azure Active Directory Connect. Federated Identity is the more complex type of identity to implement and can really be called an extension of Managed Identity. Federated Identity requires AAD Sync to be running to function correctly, and without it, Federated Identity just doesn't work. AAD Connect takes all the difficulty out of implementing a federated identity solution. Implementing this type of solution in the past was full of frustration until you learned all the little tips of the trade which were only documented in the deepest recesses of the internet. Now, all you need to do is run the AAD Connect tool, and through the magic of PowerShell and remote execution, your federated identity will be created. All you'll need to do is sit back and bask in the admiration of your peers. AAD Connect isn't a tool like AAD Sync. Once the installation is complete, you won't be managing the solution through the AAD Connect Management Console. What the tool does is it takes your inputs and configures all the features, AAD Sync, ADFS, and WAP, that are required to implement a federated identity solution. It is recommended that you treat your ADFS servers like domain controllers, as their functions are very similar. Also, as ADFS servers are the backbone of your federated identity solution, it is recommended that these servers should be installed on a high availability model. If the ADFS servers are unavailable, then the cloud servers that rely on ADFS will also be out of action. In terms of the WAP servers, these can be installed in two separate locations or zones. The first one is the traditional place that the old ADFS proxy servers were installed, the DMZ. These servers would be deployed into the DMZ in workgroup mode, and part of the configuration of the solution would be configuring a trust between the ADFS proxy servers and the ADFS servers, which is much easier to do than it sounds. This is still viable for the WAP servers, but you'll miss out on other functionality that the WAP servers offer, like workplace join, and a few other topics that will not be covered in this course. The other place to install the WAP server is transitioning the internal firewall between your production network and the DMZ. In this setup, you'll have a network adapter or leg in your production network and another leg in your DMZ. The WAP servers would then be transitioning the firewall in a similar place to where you would have installed your old TMG servers. This implementation is perfectly secure and is what the product is designed to do. The reason the WAP servers are in the DMZ zone is because they're going to be the endpoint that connections from the internet are going to be connecting to. So it is a good idea to protect your precious ADFS servers with something that is a little less important. Again, as these servers are going to be what your cloud service relies on, it is recommended that you implement them in a highly available solution. If you don't, and one of these servers becomes unavailable for any reason, your cloud service will also become unavailable, which is something to be avoided at all costs. What we're going to do now is run through a quick scenario in which an organization with on-premises identities is migrating their data into Office 365 as their current Exchange implementation is starting to show its age and is running out of storage space. We'll follow them through their decision-making process and see how the design changes based on the choices that the organization makes, and we'll also see how Microsoft best practices affect the final design. Initially, the organization was planning on doing an Exchange cutover migration due to the simpler implementation. Managed Identity and AAD Sync was planned to be implemented as an on-premises server. During discussions on the Exchange migration, it was decided that the organization wanted to deploy single sign-on as there were future plans for rolling out CRM in a format which required ADFS. This changed the design for the Exchange server migration as ADFS was now required. Due to the reliance on ADFS to keep the Exchange server solution running at all times, and due to the fact that it is Microsoft best practices for ADFS solution implementation, it was decided to implement a highly available design. So a second ADFS server and web application proxy is added to the solution. Once the ADFS design was in place, the Exchange hybrid configuration would be completed, and users would start to be migrated into Exchange Online, with it planned that the existing Exchange servers will be removed once the migration is complete, apart from the Exchange hybrid server, which will be maintained as a management point. It was then decided by the organization that the ADFS servers could be moved into Azure, as if their on-premises ADFS installation was out of action due to internet issues at the data center, Exchange Online would also be unavailable, as the ADFS servers will be unreachable. Once the tenant is available, a site-to-site VPN is created on an Azure network, a domain controller is built in Azure, and is syncing to the on-premises domain controllers. From here, an ADFS farm with WAP servers are built on Azure VMs. The Azure farm is then set as the connection point, and the on-premises farm is shut down and removed. Now that we've run through the scenario, we can see how the evolving requirements and design decisions affect the end solution. We've also seen how the Microsoft best practices affect the end solution with the double up of the WAP and the ADFS servers. In the next module, we'll get into the gears and wheels of the tools that we can use to create an identity and access management solution. We'll take a look at the tools involved in building the solution and the products that they configure. We'll also run through a demonstration of deploying our identity and access management solution that we designed in this module. I hope to see you then.